What's up, everyone? Welcome back. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Today's episode is going to be an interesting one for sure. It doesn't necessarily have a theme or a topic or a lesson or a moral. It's just chit-chatting because my weekend was pretty fucking eventful and pretty fucking dramatic and intense and something. You know those nights that you have with your friends where in the heat of the moment, you're like, oh my God, this night sucks, or nothing is going according to plan, or I had such high expectations and none of them are being met. You know those nights, but then you realize the next day that those nights are the ones that you're gonna remember forever because so much shit went wrong and so much shit was hectic and chaotic and it sucked in the middle of the moment. Maybe you like started bitching at each other and tension was high and emotions were running wild and it wasn't fun that night, but you wake up the next morning and you're like, damn, like that's a story. That is a story that we will laugh about for years to come. That's the kind of weekend that I had with three of my girlfriends. And I just want to tell you about it because it is really funny and it is the definition of a shit show. If you were to open up the dictionary and look up the word shit show, you would see my Saturday night. But first, I want to draw your attention to the newsletter really quick and an article that I'm really proud of and also that I think is very informative and educational. It's called The Dirty Side of Clean Eating. And there's a link, as always, to my newsletter in the podcast description. You can find it on Substack at Sophie Radvan, just my first and last name. This article is a personal story about how, you know, over the past few weeks or months, maybe like 1 month, 1 month and a half, I unintentionally kind of changed my diet with and eating habits without even realizing or trying. The catalyst of all of this is that I have started shopping at this farmer's market. It's my favorite thing to do in the warmer months. I'm sure I've said that before. This farmer's market is just the epitome of joy, good vibes, good people. Everyone who works there is volunteering out of the goodness of their hearts. Nobody's paid. Nobody has to be there. It's just good vibes all around. And what happens when you go to a farmer's market? Well, obviously you leave with like the freshest fruits and vegetables and breads and honeys and jams and everything is clean and nutritious and healthy. There's no additives. There's no food coloring or artificial flavors or even like added sugars. It's just very much centered around whole ingredients. And whole foods and whole ingredients are defined as foods that have like one ingredient. So bananas, eggs, chicken breast, right? It's not like this crazy long list of 10 to 15 ingredients, some of which you can't pronounce, some of which you've never heard of before. It's just like one single thing, a fucking peach, some fucking grapes, some fucking asparagus. You get the idea, right? So I've been starting to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner around the foods that I get at the farmer's market. And without really trying or paying attention, I've realized that my diet consists of 90% healthy whole foods. And when I try to deviate from that, maybe I'll have a donut for dessert because I do have a massive sweet tooth and I do love like to end my night on a sweet note. And I'll have a cookie or a donut, or maybe I want to pour myself a glass of wine. So here's an example. My husband had to work the night shift about a week ago. So he literally left for work at 10 p.m. and didn't come home until like 7 a.m. And I don't think I have like separation anxiety, but I don't like sleeping alone, especially when I'm used to having my husband next to me and like a warm body to cuddle with, and maybe we'll watch a show to kind of fall asleep. And then I just have a harder time falling asleep in a cold, lonely, empty bed. I think that's common and nothing to be ashamed of. So I was like, okay, I'll pour myself a glass of wine, some red wine. We have Merlot. It's cheap boxed wine, but alcohol nonetheless. I'll pour myself a glass of wine to kind of soothe myself to sleep. Maybe the alcohol will work its magic and I'll fall asleep a lot faster and easier. because my body is not used to alcohol anymore, it's not used to added sugar, it's not used to caffeine, I have essentially demolished my body's tolerance and ability to digest added sugars, alcohol, and caffeine. I have the most intense insensitivity? Is that a word? I guess I should say sensitivity. I have such an extreme sensitivity to sugar, alcohol, and caffeine because my diet is mostly clean whole foods. So this article really just goes into details about like what it is I'm eating, what it is I've tried to eat. Like I tried to have a sticky bun a few nights ago and I experienced heart palpitations and elevated heart rate and anxiety and I couldn't fall asleep. And another time I ate mini chocolate glazed donut holes, which is just like a mini bite-sized donut. And again, I experienced like such intense negative side effects out of nowhere. And this is basically, the moral of the story is that like I'm in the process now of learning to accept that my body is just more sensitive than it used to be. And I'm not totally against the fact that like I don't tolerate sugar well, because I think truly a lot of the average American diet has so much sugar, has so much caffeine, has so much alcohol, that it wouldn't hurt the average consumer to cut back on these vices, right? So I'm not like weeping my eyes out that my diet has less sugar in it, but I am confused and struggling with how drastic this change is. I used to be someone who could like eat an ice cream sandwich. You know, you got two cookies and a scoop of ice cream in the middle. I used to be able to just like eat that like a normal fucking regular person and digest it just fine, go to sleep just fine, wake up just fine. And now that's not the case anymore. Now I'll have the same ice cream sandwich and my heart starts skipping a beat, my blood pressure is raised, I get anxious, I toss and turn in bed. And this is just my fucking body now. This is just like what my central nervous system is reacting like. And I can either fight it and protest it and like, you know, complain about it, or I can learn to accept this new phase, I guess. Maybe it is a phase. Maybe in the next month, my body will kind of regulate itself again and realize that like sugar is not the enemy. We don't have to have a fucking panic attack every time I want to have a cookie or a donut. So this article is just like, yeah, learning, you know, the stages of first realizing that this is happening. And I was really upset and confused and shocked at first, and then also kind of walking you down the path of body acceptance, you know, loving yourself regardless of what your body's doing. You may not understand it, you may be confused by it, but your body does essentially have a mind of its own, and it is a machine that's going to operate the way that it sees it best. And your brain just maybe has some catching up to do. So that's an article called The Dirty Side of Clean Eating, and it is on my Substack newsletter. Now we can jump into my disastrous girls' night out on Saturday night. So, okay, we're gonna get into the story. All right, so first a little backstory, right? So I think I've mentioned my friend Amy before. I've known her for about a year and a half now. We hang out about once a month. And for the past 2 weeks, Amy has been working a summer job as a camp counselor somewhere in northern Minnesota. And I've known for a while now that she was planning to have an apartment warming party. So she was planning on having some friends over to look at her pool and her balcony and her rooftop. She lives in a very like swanky, artistic, hipster, poppin', bustlin' neighborhood where there's tons of restaurants in her area, tons of bars. So she was like, come on over, we'll pregame at my place, and then we'll walk right downstairs and go out. And then a few days before her party, she texts me and she's like, hey, I'm actually inviting my friends at camp. So all the other camp counselors that Amy works with, she's inviting them to her parties, like a more the merrier mentality. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, fine. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of like mingling with strangers. And I don't do that well in large groups. I'm more of like a one-on-one hangout or like a maximum of like five people. But if Amy wants all her camp friends to come, like, who am I to say anything? So I'm like, okay, no problem. I didn't realize, and honestly, Amy did not realize that 90% of her camp counselor friends are not 21. So the camp is for like children, right? Like 5-year-olds or 10-year-olds or something. So the counselors are anywhere between like 5 years older or 15 years older. Amy is, I think, 31 or 32. I'm 30. She just kind of assumed that if you're working as a camp counselor, you are going to be at least legal 21 and older. But that was not the case. And only after she invited them did she realize that most, with the exception of like three counselors, most of them are under 21. So you legally cannot drink in America. And that, okay, so like most of them are like 18, 19, I would say. And spending time with so many 18 and 19 year olds this weekend, I was just reminded of how dumb and oblivious and strange and awkward you are at that age. And it just makes me cringe thinking like, oh my God, when I was 18, I probably thought that I was so fucking cool, right? Like, I probably thought that I knew everything there was to know. I knew myself inside and out, and I was cool, and everyone wanted to like hang out with me and be like me. And now that I'm 30, I'm like, oh my God, I was probably the opposite of that. And I was probably just like these 18-year-old camp counselors, like the opposite of cool, the opposite of like smart and chill and like just a fucking mess and like just a train flying off the tracks. But it was too little too late. Amy already invited all of them. So she's not going to be like, oh, oops, like I retract my invitations. You can't come because you're not 21. So the train just kept on moving and all these friends were planning on coming over on Saturday night. The moment they arrived, there was already a problem, of course, because when you're dealing with children, yes, I do consider 18-year-olds fucking children, okay? You're like, maybe in the eyes of the law, 18 says you're an adult and you can drive and you can vote and whatever. But at 18, especially if you're a male, if you have a penis in your pants and you are 18, you are actually like 15, okay? Let's just say it like it is, right? So from the moment these 18-year-olds arrived, there was already a problem and Amy was already getting so frustrated. So she sent a group text to her counselor friends saying, do not park in my building because every parking spot here has a designated, you know, every parking spot belongs to someone in the building. You have to park on the street, which means you'll probably have to pay at a metered parking spot. They totally ignored that part of the message and they pull into her garage in this massive fucking van. The camp van, by the way, the band camp van pulls into her private garage parking lot and is like, we're here. We found a spot like right by the elevator. And Amy's like, the elevator? Aren't you parking on the street? And they're like, no, we found a spot. And she's like, no, you can't park in this spot because it's for private fucking residents. You have to move the fucking van to the fucking street. And because this is a van and it's, you know, it's tall and it's wide, Amy has to go downstairs and literally like maneuver the van around so that it doesn't hit other cars. And at one point there was like a metal beam at the top of like, you know, when you're trying to like get into a spot and then it says like maximum height, 7 feet or like do not exceed 8 feet. And there's like a metal bar. It's usually painted red or orange or yellow, like a cautionary, like do not enter if you know that your vehicle is taller than this. and these fucking camp idiots are like trying to push the van through the clearance, even though they don't fucking fit. And Amy's like, oh my God. Anyway, so they eventually, I think this took like 30 fucking minutes. They eventually get this van parked in a parking ramp and it's paid for and the parking situation is all good. Then the 18-year-olds come on over. There's like 15 of them. And immediately one of the girls, who literally looks like 12, she says to Amy, like, can I have this? And she's pointing to booze. She's pointing to like White Claws and hard seltzers that are not hers. She didn't pay for this. They're just Amy paid for them to like be a nice guest. She's like, can I have this? And Amy's like, okay, so here's the deal, guys. She finally kind of admits that she didn't prepare that well. She's like, I didn't realize like that many of you were underage and I don't want to get in trouble for giving you alcohol or like, God forbid, management of the apartment complex or, you know, just or security or like, God forbid, someone comes by and sees like underage people drinking booze. I don't want to get in trouble with my apartment complex. I don't want to get fined or whatever the fuck. So if you're going to drink, please leave this like communal party area and go drink in my actual apartment with the door closed. So a bunch of them go upstairs to Amy's actual apartment while the rest of us are drinking by the pool and by the patio, by the fireplace. We're drinking out in public because we don't have any reason to hide. When the 18-year-olds get into Amy's actual apartment, apparently they like opened every drawer, opened every closet, and they found her stash of weed. And this is what I'm saying with 18-year-olds. Like, how selfish are you that you're just going to open every drawer, every cabinet, look through my clothes, look through my makeup bag, like go into every room. You're just like fucking nosy and you don't mind your business and you think that you're entitled to free alcohol and White Claws that you didn't pay for and you don't even care who paid for them because like you are selfish and you just don't care. Like you don't care that it's rude to open people's drawers in their apartment and you don't care that it's rude to smoke their weed because like better, you know, better beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. So they find Amy's weed. And now these 18-year-olds are chugging tequila out of the bottle and smoking weed and getting crossfaded and stoned. And, you know, the combination of weed and alcohol, I think, you know, is like recipe for disaster, especially when you're so young and you don't have a tolerance. Oh, so now, okay, so maybe now like 2 hours have passed and there's me, there's Amy's sister, Ashley, and then there's one other girl named Alyssa. So Alyssa, Ashley, Amy, and myself are the four girls who are actually friends, who actually know each other and have nothing to do with the camp chaos that's happening. So Ashley, Alyssa, and I start pressuring Amy to get rid of these fucking children, put them in an Uber, have them go home so that we, us girls, can just go out to an actual bar and stop playing babysitter and actually have a good night. And Amy's like, fine. Let's start like rounding them up and getting them downstairs in an Uber. Well, at this point, everyone's drunk, everyone's stoned, and it's like herding cats. Some of them are in Amy's apartment. Some of them are by the pool because they're drunk and they don't care about the rules that Amy told them. Another half of them are in the gym. So at one point we see a guy walking around shirtless and in obvious gym shorts and sneakers. And we're like, hey, bro, like, where are you going? And he's like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. You don't live here. You are an 18-year-old who's visiting the apartment of a 30-year-old, and you're just gonna like go to her gym. First of all, you can't because you need a key and you need a fob to get into the door. And like, what, you're gonna go to the gym? What the fuck? It's like 9 o'clock at night. You reek of booze, you stink of weed, and now you're gonna carry that scent down the hallway into the gym. So at one point I'm like, I think Ashley, Amy's sister. Ashley was such a superhero that night. She is like, she does not give a fuck if someone thinks she's a bitch, which I think is an actual pretty admirable quality. She's like, I don't fucking care what you think of me because I'll never see you again, ever. So I'm going to be a bitch and tell you, do not fucking go to the gym. We're all getting you in Ubers. But then, you know, like I said, it's like herding cats. They're by the pool. They're by the fire. They're in Amy's place. They're looking at the gym. They're running around. And at one point, you know, the progress stalled because one of the guys from camp, I guess, like, called his girlfriend and she broke up with him over the phone that night. So this one guy is having a total meltdown in Amy's apartment, crying, laying on the floor, bawling. You know, alcohol and weed are also involved, so emotions are even higher. And he's having a panic attack, saying he refuses to leave. He just wants to, like, die on the floor. He wants everyone to go away and leave him alone. And Amy's like, well, haha, you're actually in my apartment. So you're telling me to, like, fuck off and leave you alone? How about you get the fuck off my floor and out of my apartment? Everyone here was invited out of, like kindness and just, like, Amy trying to be inclusive and show them a good time. And just be nice. Like, hey, guys, I'm having a party. Come on over. And then everyone there just took such advantage of the situation. They drank all her booze. They smoked all her weed. They're refusing to listen to her. When she says, like, get out and get in an Uber, they're saying no. They're fighting back. They're, like, refusing to follow instructions. And they're just all having a meltdown because they're drunk and high. And I mean, I think it was, I arrived at 6 o'clock and it was probably like 9:30 by the time we left Amy's apartment. By the time we were able to get all of the 18-year-olds downstairs in an Uber safely going back home. It probably took 3.5-4 hours. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, I just, being surrounded by people that age again, because it's been so long. I honestly, like, don't feel my age, although I'm glad that I am. I'm glad to be 30. I think it's a blessing to age and to be able to live more and more years and gain more and more life experience. I have no fear or no problem with aging and getting older. I think, like, every day that you get on this earth is a blessing and nothing should be taken for granted and, you know, carpe diem, blah, 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 right? I do truly believe that, but I don't feel 30. When I say 30, I'm kind of like, ooh, like, maybe I should have kids or maybe I should, like, settle down or maybe I should, like, be a housewife who just, like, cooks and cleans and, like, doesn't get wasted with her friends anymore and, like, doesn't go to concerts anymore, like, right? Although that is just, like, a social stigma and turning 30 means nothing, essentially. It's whatever you, turning 30 is whatever you make it, right? But when I say 30, like, so for example, one of the guys who was younger, I think he was 19, he was one of the cooler ones. Like, they weren't all a disaster. Most of them were fucking terrible, but there was one or two that I was able to have an actual conversation with. And when he said, like, oh, I'm 19, there was 1% of me that was like, oh my God, me too. Like, I still think that I could be 19, 20, 21. I don't think of myself as a 30-year-old. And there was this, like, 1% where I was like, where he's like, oh, I'm 19. I would be like, oh, me too. And then I'm like, wait, no, I'm fucking not 19. But, like, inside there are parts of me that still do feel 19. Like, I am very spontaneous. I do love doing random unplanned shit. Like, I'm always down to go out and have a good time. I don't think of myself as, like, a mother or, like, a wife or, you know, whatever the fuck, right? But even though I don't feel 30 necessarily, I am so glad that I have experience in life and, you know, I have so much more to experience, hopefully, in this life. And I'm glad to be getting older and, like, know more about myself and feel more self-assured with myself. And I don't know, just, like, there is a certain quality of, like, wisdom and maturity and regalness almost that comes with aging. And I know that 30 is still so young in the grand scheme of things. Like, talk to me when you're 60. Talk to me when you're 70. You know, you want to talk about like regalness and wisdom and being, you know, smart and older and mature. Like, you want to talk about that at 30, bitch? Like, nice try, you know? But comparing myself to an 18-year-old, it is like night and day. And I am so glad. Like, you couldn't pay me to go back to high school. You couldn't pay me to even go back to college. I know people say like college is your best years or your 20s are your best. People always say that. But you know what? According to Kim Kardashian, I think there was an interview in Vogue magazine with her when she was like dating Pete Davidson, although they broke up. But, you know, she was dating Pete Davidson and everyone was like, oh my God, like you're moving on from Kanye and like you're a mother with four kids, but you still have so much fun and you still are having like sexy dates. Like, what is the secret to your 40s? And Kim was like, your 40s, like, you're like a prime fucking peach. Like, you're gonna have the best sex in your 40s because you know what you like and you know your body and you're not afraid to speak your mind and stand up for yourself. And like, you like yourself actually for the first time in your life. You look in the mirror and you like what you see. Like, that does come from aging and you can't buy it and you can't. There's no other way to achieve that level of confidence and security and being like so self-assured and being so okay with yourself. And not just okay, but like you feel so good just being in a room alone by yourself or standing naked in front of a mirror, looking at your body and in your curves and, you know, whatever. And a part of your body that you maybe hated in your 20s, in your 40s, you're like, you know what? This makes me unique. Nobody has an ass like me. Nobody's got titties like me. Nobody has, you know, hair like me, whatever. That only comes with age and you cannot buy it and you cannot achieve it. And there are no shortcuts. You just got to keep on living life. And even though aging can scare some people, it doesn't really scare me. But at the same time, like, I don't want to die. A part of me does think it would be cool to just keep on living and living forever. But at the same time, you couldn't pay me to be 18 again. Because watching these kids run around and like it's like, God, what's even the word? It's like little monsters. It's like a monster that it's like a gremlin that you gave food to after midnight. And now the gremlin like doesn't have any fur. And it's this weird like lizard with red eyes and green skin. And it's running around like a chicken with its head cut off. And it has no rhyme, no reason, no purpose. I think that's what I'm getting at. When you're 18, you have no fucking purpose. You're just like this little blob on the floor. And you have no shape and no solidity and no function, no purpose. You're just like a piece of jello. You're just like a gelatinous blob on my kitchen counter, swaying in the wind, changing shapes and changing colors. And you're not really a solid, but you're not really a liquid. And the texture is weird in my mouth. And you're not sweet, but you're not savory. You're just like this gelatinous blob when you're 18 and you have no fucking soul or purpose or function or meaning or message. You don't know what you stand for. You don't know what you care about. You don't know what you're passionate about. And you're just like a clueless loser. And you're honestly kind of like a nobody. Because at 18, you're trying to be so many people that you actually become nobody because you're not yourself because you don't know what yourself means. Because you don't have your formed personality yet. And I know that we always lose parts of ourselves and we gain parts of ourselves. But at 18, you're trying to be so many different people. Are you a jock? Are you an art person? Are you a drama person? Are you a history person? Are you someone who loves to cook? Are you someone who loves to play instruments? Are you someone who loves to play sports? Like, you don't fucking know. You're trying all these after school activities and you're enrolled in so many programs and you're trying, but the more you try, the more you stop being, if that makes sense. If you're just trying to be, you're not actually being. If you're trying to live, you're not actually living. Like, living is effortless. Being yourself is effortless. It should come naturally. And at 18, nothing comes naturally to you because you are the most awkward, unsure, confused person that nothing comes naturally. And I was just reminded of that on Saturday night, that like that's how I used to be. But at that age, I thought I was the opposite. I thought I was too cool for school. I was hot shit. My shit didn't stink. And being 30, I'm like, no, like shit gets better. Like life only gets better because you only learn more about yourself, which means your confidence grows. You practice boundaries and you know, people will come in out of your life to test you, and you're, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Aging makes you stronger. Aging makes you wiser, more confident, etc. So that was a really like nice reminder, you know, being forced to hang out with people and you used to be that fucking age and being like, damn, I have come so far. But to end the Saturday night story, it turned out to be a pretty good night because this, as soon as all the 18-year-olds left and we were able to go to the bar, we were sitting there, you know, me, Amy, Alyssa, Ashley, and Amy's like side piece boyfriend, Michael. We were sitting at the bar and just like laughing with ourselves. We're like, damn, dude, like you couldn't pay me to be that age. And, you know, being an adult is actually so fucking cool and it's such a blessing. And there's so much freedom and confidence and purpose that comes with aging. And we were just sitting there, a bunch of adults, like clinking our glasses of espresso martinis. And yeah, I mean, cheers to being a fucking adult, man. And cheers to growing up and getting older and becoming more confident and learning more about yourself. And cheers to the freedom that comes with aging too. Like, I know that 21 might seem like that last age, like, because when you're 21 in the States, you can do everything, right? You can vote, you can drink, you can drive, you can smoke weed, you can purchase a firearm, you can, yeah, 21 is like the last big age, you know? But I think more birthdays are going to have that significance too. Like, I think 30 is something to celebrate. I think 40 is something to celebrate. 50, 60, 70, like, I actually can't wait. Like, now that I know what it's like to look back on being 18 and feeling relieved that I'm not 18 anymore. Because imagine if it was the opposite. Imagine if I had that night and the next day I was like, oh my God, like seeing those 18-year-olds be themselves really makes me want to be 18 again. Imagine if it was the opposite. That would feel terrible, and that would feel so heartbreaking, and that would feel so scary knowing you're never going to be 18 again. You're only going to get older, and you're only going to move further and further away from that 18-year-old slot. That would be frightening and possibly disturbing, and maybe you would have like an existential quarter-life crisis. But the fact that it was the opposite, and I'm looking at 18-year-olds being like, whew, I'm so glad I'm 30. I'm so glad I've moved on from that stage of my life. I'm so glad that I have grown to be wiser and more confident and more assured of myself. And I've grown into my voice and I've grown into my body and I've grown into my brain, and I know who I am and I know what I like. And of course I can still change and morph and grow and transform with age. But if I'm 30, looking at 18-year-olds saying, thank fuck, I'm not like you anymore. Imagine what happens when you turn 60. When I turn 60, I hope to God that I look back on my 30s and think like, whew, thank fuck I'm not 30 anymore. Thank God that I have grown into this marvelous 60-year-old woman with, you know, maybe some white hair and maybe some wrinkles and, you know, maybe a kid or whatever the fuck. I don't know. But like, I hope that this way of thinking continues as I age. I hope I will be 60, looking at myself now at 30, being like, damn, that girl had no idea what was coming. You know, she had no idea how much better and more fulfilling her life was going to get in her 40s, 50s, and now 60s. So damn, like, the light bulb is on, and I'm so glad, like, that's it. Like, I don't want to repeat myself. You guys get it. That's all from me. I hope you have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.